listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 119 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by SB Live Sports. My name's Kyle Sutherland, alongside the softball guru, Jared Hawthorne. We appreciate you all for joining us for another edition. It's crazy that it is already April. Probably some of you are listening to this on April Fool's Day. We won't be hitting you with any jokes or anything like that, but we do hope you all had a great Easter with your families. It was a little bit nasty weather, but obviously a great cause, celebrating the birth, or I'm sorry, not the birth. We're not talking about Christmas. We're talking about Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. Had my stuff mixed up there, but as far as softball goes, had a lot of really good matchups that we did preview for the River City Rumble in Van Buren last week. The only problem with that was, is Jared, kind of something that we also had touched on, many of those matchups did not, pretty much all the ones against ranked competition, that are ranked teams that I can think of, did not go more than five innings. Now, again, that doesn't mean that it's not a good game. It's just you can't really go off of that in terms of really the Super 7 rankings. I think you can definitely gauge a little bit where some teams are compared to how they competed against, you know, the higher classifications or whatever the case may be. But it was just an hour time limit on the game. So, as I said, many of them just didn't go past five innings. I don't know really that any of them met the time limits that I can think of off the top of my head. But nonetheless, it's really good for those teams. We talked about the slate. You know, there was Bentonville. There was Maumee. I'm trying to think of ones off the top of my head. Valley View, Greenwood. Just a lot of really quality teams, many of them that we have ranked that played in this. And you can't really trade that kind of competition as we get into April here.
Yeah, definitely. I was getting a lot of notifications on the Game Changer coming through, and we were playing at the same time, and I was trying to catch scores and stuff. But I noticed a lot of those scores were really low-scoring games, and then I realized, I didn't know till later that it was an hour time limit on the games. That makes a lot more sense, you know, that there was a short time limit on it, and a lot of those games only went, you know, four, three, really several of those games only went three, four, five innings in that hour time limit. But some good competition between them. Certainly heard about some good pitching performances, some things like that. You lost sound on me, Kyle.
I forgot to unmute my mic. I keep telling myself I'm going to stop doing that. And for the longest time, I go on a streak. But here we go. So back now that my mic is unmuted. So, I wanted to point that out, too, was that there was equipment, for instance. They beat Bentonville. Now, granted, again, you know, that's not to take anything away from these teams, but I wanted to reiterate this because I talked about this and I harped on it, really in the intro of the Super 7 this week. These games in the River City Rumble are just not going to play a whole lot of part, at least in terms of the rankings. Again, just because when you have those 2-1 run games, there is so much that can happen, especially not just if you play one more inning, but especially if you're only playing five and you didn't get to meet that full seven. So definitely a lot of, again, we don't want to take away anything from the teams that were in that, but I would definitely go back if you didn't get a chance to look at that, if you didn't get a chance to follow that tournament, go back and check some of those scores. Again, a lot of the state's top quality teams, many of them that we have ranked that played in that one. So a really good weekend in Van Buren. And I guess I'll mention the winner before we move on. It was Rogers for the second year in a row. 8-0, they beat Bentonville West. For the second year in a row, they won the tournament. Now, I have heard reports, Jared, that this will be the last River City Rumble. That's what it's looking like. It was Harold McIlvain from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette did a great job, as he always does, covering those events in the River Valley. And I think that it was a tweet from him that I had seen that Coach Andy Williams from Van Buren had joked that Van Buren has never won. I believe it's now – it's close to two decades, maybe 15 years, 20 years, something like that, that tournament has gone on. Van Buren has never won it, but Andy Williams had kind of joked because Tori Stafford, who's now the head coach at Rogers, you know, she was a standout for Van Buren before playing her college ball at Tulsa. Of course, was a graduate assistant at the University of Arkansas. He made a joke about how, well, she won it, and she's a Van Buren alum, so maybe that's the closest thing that we'll ever get. So it's looking like that Van Buren's never, it's not going to get an opportunity to do that. But Rodgers, man, definitely want to give a shout out to them. 7-0 on the week. I believe it's now 12 or 13 straight that they've won. So the Lady Mounties, man, you know, right there behind Benton, behind Bryant in our Super 7 rankings for the 6A number one spot. They're sitting at number two and are really playing well right now.
Yeah, Rodgers has been looking tough all year. We talked about them on the preseason stuff that we really felt like Rodgers is gonna push for those top two to three teams this year, and they're proving us right on that part of it. They're definitely playing well, and they had a really good weekend for sure.
And also another tournament kind of up around that, well, I say around that area, it was more so north central Arkansas as opposed to the west part of the state. Another Ozarks Classic tournament that we had over the weekend. Clinton won that one 4-1 over Huntsville to take home that trophy. And then also want to give a shout out to the Bryant Lady Hornets. Mentioned them just a second ago, the defending 6A champions. Represented Arkansas very, very well in Tennessee at the Clark Kirk Memorial. I believe this is a tournament they've been to for, I know they've gone to Tennessee over the past few seasons, really post COVID, I think just about every year. And I think this is the tournament that they go to, but went 4-2 and Jared, the only loss that they had two losses to Silverdale Baptist, a really good program out of Tennessee, which is actually, they're a defending state champion. So you had two state champions, defending state champions going at each other from Arkansas and Tennessee. Silverdale, though, they've got two of the nation's better pitchers. I know they got one that's a senior that is a D1 signee. And from what I had gathered talking to Coach Dreher, they have the top freshman pitcher, the top 2027 pitcher on that team as well. So they saw both of those, did Bryant. So definitely got to give a big-time shout-out to them for a job well done, the way that they represented their program in the state of Arkansas, out of state over the weekend.
Hey, if it's outside of Arkansas, it might as well be overseas. So they, I would say definitely though, Bryant's a very strong team. They're very talented. We've talked about them from the start that they're probably the best team in Arkansas this year in all of high school. There's a couple I know will want to argue that a little bit, and they're going to do their best to prove otherwise. But definitely, Bryant has got a strong team. They're loaded with hitters. They're loaded with pitching. You know, they got a great defense. And I have heard, I don't know a lot about Silverdale, but I have heard that they've got some just absolutely unreal pitching up there. So when you've got great pitching, you can compete or win against anybody. Definitely looking forward to seeing Bryant when they come back to the state and how they do within their conference. But right now I'm liking them for being the best team in the state.
Yeah, they got a really big one with Cabot this week that we'll talk about a little bit here towards the end. But speaking of teams that are one of the best in the state, regardless of classification, has great pitching and just really been great across the board. Sheridan, they take down Benton, the first time that the Lady Jackets have beaten Benton since 2019, and they take over as the number one 5A team. And Jared, we had a feeling. I know that you I don't want to say that you've been higher on Sheridan than I have, more so than I know you kind of feel like they're the standalone, when right now they are the standalone team. They have proven as the not just the number one team in Class 5A and also the last remaining undefeated team, that they are right now, as it stands, really the team to beat right now. They've proven that. So I think kind of where I'm at on it, last week I made the point that I think it's Sheridan, Benton, and everybody else. I still have that exact same opinion. And basically, I mean, yes, we got to give your due credit where it is to Sheridan, and I can't say that enough. But I just look at last year, and I know that the first thing that people are going to say, you don't have Alyssa Houston, and that's going to be the response to what I say. But this, they were in this similar position last year. Benton went to the River City Rumble in Van Buren, lost a couple of games. They had already lost to Bryant earlier in the season. This is a very, very, very young team, kind of similar to where Sheridan was a couple of years ago when they made that semifinal run, when Cooper Terry in that 2025 class, Mary Lim, they were all freshmen. Right now, we're seeing the experience of Sheridan, but I think that the biggest mistake, and I think probably plenty of 5A coaches and 5A South coaches will tell you this, you definitely do not want to sleep on Benton. That's the worst mistake that you can do, because, yes, they are – They're still trying to get some experience, trying to get some girls some innings, but they've also got elite coaching on top of all that talent. So the worst thing that anybody can do is sleep on the Benton Lady Panthers right now.
Well, I'll touch on all of that. First off, to start with Sheridan, for sure, they're the most talented and the deepest 5A team in the state of Arkansas. There's just no doubt about it. They've got hitters from top to bottom. They've got speed all over the field. They've got pitching three deep that's outstanding, and maybe more than three, but for sure three deep that's outstanding. Just every part of the game that you look at, Sheridan has it. And they don't only just have it, but they have depth at those spots. And so I really don't think that there's anybody in the state of Arkansas in 5A that has the talent and the depth that Sheridan has this year. They're my favorite to win 5A going away. Not to say that they can't be beat. They can be. You can get a pitcher that can show up and give them fits that has a great day, and they might be able to get over on them for a game here or there. But consistently throughout the year, Sheridan's going to be the team that I'm picking to go take it all in 5A. Now, I would say this. I think Sheridan gets Arkansas High this week. You may get a kid like Macy Lee that's, can have a great day, go out there and hold them in check. Last year she gave Sheridan fits when they played in conference. I think it ended up being like maybe a 5-4 or 6-5 ball game or something like that. So, Macy Lee could definitely go have a game of her life, and Arkansas High has a great squad behind her this year. They could go give Sheridan fits in a ball game. But if you want to talk about ability to win consistently in 5A, Sheridan is the best team in the state. Benton, for sure, I wouldn't sleep on them ever. They got great talent. They're loaded. Great coaching. Rexy Crane is a phenomenal pitcher, and she's only going to get better. Being a true freshman, she's going to get better. She's going to get stronger. She's already a great pitcher. She can compete with anybody in state. And as she matures just a little bit in the game, she gets a little bit of experience under her wing a little bit, playing teams like she just played with Sheridan this week. By the end of this season, I feel like Rexy Crane is going to really show us some things and probably going to beat some teams and make a deep run late in the year.
Well, and you mentioned how teams can really just sneak out of nowhere and beat somebody. The 5A South is definitely where that's going to happen. We saw it with Benton and Lake Hamilton the other night. Benton doesn't lose back-to-back games very often. Post-COVID, this is only the second time that it's happened. They lost, the first two, Lake Hamilton. I believe that was Monday or Tuesday night, maybe Tuesday. But Lake Hamilton, you got to give it to them. They scored, what was it, 6 runs, I believe it was, in the final 2 innings, something like that. But really just got the job done. And we knew that that was going to be a really good team once they really got clicking. They've had some losses there that I think that – I don't know if you could say you didn't expect them, because, again, this is a really young team that we're talking about. Reese Lackey's a sophomore that's really good. Michaela Miller?
That's Miller.
Yeah, another one that's really, they've got a lot of, I know some super 26s that are really, really good. They're relying, just like Benton is, on a lot of the young talent. So we saw that, and if any team, like we said, if any conference that it's going to happen, it's going to be the South, because it's proven to be the deepest conference in the league right now, or in the 5A class. But they don't just have Arkansas High, does Sheridan. They've also got a matchup against Malvern, which Malvern right now, they haven't played the competition that Sheridan has, but you still look at what they've done. They've played 6 conference games, and they have run ruled every single one of them. And Noodle Watson, at least I caught myself immediately. I don't know that I've seen a better start. And I know. We're going to say, well, she might not be playing competition to others. I don't care. When you are batting, what is it, 800 or whatever it is, 6 home runs and 30-something at bats, I don't know that I've seen a start like this. And that's something too, Jared, is I know that that's the first thing, and I know I'm usually the first one to look at any situation, what kind of competition you play and all that. There's something to be said about that kind of consistency at the plate. And it's not like they've been playing chumps. I'm not saying that either. But there is something to be said about consistency at the plate. And when you are hitting over 80% of the time, you're a coach. You see this kind of, you obviously see numbers and all this different kind of stuff from certain players more than I do. Have you ever seen a start like that to a season?
I don't think I have, not consistently this deep into the season. Kendall Watson is just a special kind of talent. She's a great kid, but the start that she's got right now this year is just, it's unreal. It doesn't surprise me either, though. I've seen Kendall play so much in the summer. We've faced them so many times personally in the summer in travel ball, and I've seen her play over and over with her Arkansas Thunder 017. And I'm telling you, that kid is absolutely talented. She's a big, tall, strong kid. She can knock the cover off the softball. She drives the ball in the gap. She hits the ball hard almost every time to the plate. And that's part of the reason that she's hitting so well. It's not that, I mean, she's hitting home runs. You know, I think she's probably hit four or five already this season, maybe more. But she's not a kid that swings for the fences. She hits the ball so hard that they sail out sometimes, but she'll knock the wall down over and over with doubles. She just hits the ball hard. She plays hard. She's a student of the game. She works hard on her game all the time. She's the kind of kid that Power Five, SEC schools, things like, they're just looking for kids like Kendall Watson. And she's going to go play at a high level somewhere, I can tell you that.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Yeah, really good pitcher as well. I know that – I think she was actually, if I remember correctly, she was one of the first freshmen that you mentioned to me before last season, talking about – and she was one of a couple in the 4A7. Maybe it was Landon Tompkins from Nashville that we had talked about. But, man, she has more than – she had a great season as a freshman. But, man, I mean, like you said, I don't definitely no sophomore is playing like that right now, especially at least batting like that. But I don't know that you'll find anybody in the state that is doing quite anything close to that. So pretty phenomenal numbers. And again, that's going to be a really fun matchup, which I guess if you're listening to this on Monday, it'll be tonight that game will be played between Malvern and Sheridan. Going to be a really great test for both of them, especially for Malvern. I think that that's going to be really benefit them to see that kind of pitching, which you imagine will be Callie Kilburn and Cooper and or Cooper Terry, who pitched in the Benton game and who have been their two primary pitchers. But, I mean, Sheridan's got about three or four that they feel comfortable putting out there in the circle. So staying in Class 4A, and, Jared, we obviously – we talk about the 4A1 every single week, and I think probably a big part of that is because they've had been our top three teams in the rankings this year. But now, this week, we're going to have four. I looked at Gentry's – so Gentry has been that team – that we have felt like was going to be not only a sleeper in Region 1, but also Class 4A overall. And we said that on the preview pod, that was one to watch. Of course, along, like we said, Farmington, Pea Ridge, Gravette, they're going to be your state title contenders. But Gentry's probably going to upset somebody. I didn't think it was going to happen this quick. I thought it was maybe going to be a little bit deeper into the season, but they're 9-2 right now. And then they beat Gravette 12-11 the other night. That was Gravette's first loss to 4A competition since I believe it was either late March or I looked it up the other night, but it was either late March or early April of 2022. So basically 2 years ago was the last time that they had a loss to 4A competition. Gentry only won about 7 or 8 games a year ago. So Coach Teeters, you can't just say, I mean, enough about the job that he has done. Certainly an early candidate for Coach of the Year with the kind of turnaround that they have already had. But that's the thing too, Jared. They have not played a chump schedule whatsoever. I mean, they've played some really tough teams. They beat Rogers Heritage earlier in the week. So this 4A1 class, we've talked about how deep it is over and over and over again. Again, with the Pea Ridges, the Farmingtons, the Gravettes, but then you add Gentry in there. It's just not even close. This is the best league right now in 4A.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see anyone else close in 4A as far as conference strengths. Anytime you talk about those three teams that we always talk about with Farmington and Gravette and Pea Ridge, there's tons of talent there. Of course, you know, if this was a year ago, we aren't talking about Gentry in that mix at all. But this year, we've seen some flashes of some really good stuff from them, doing really well overall. Got a big win the other day. It'll be interesting to see if they can sustain that for season. They've definitely brought in some key pieces as far as talent that they didn't have a year ago, and then great coaching. You know, it looks to be. I saw just a few little clips of P. Ridge's highlights out of the tournament this weekend. Looks like Emery Bolin was being Emery Bolin and throwing exceptionally well. I had three different people text me in the last 3 days that said P. Ridge is the best 4A team in the state. And I said, that's saying something, you know, because there's some really good teams in 4A. And I'm sure that a lot of that opinion is based on they have a great team overall, but you have arguably the best pitcher in the state on that staff with Emery Bolin. And so you're just seeing people really starting to respect the program and everything they're doing there. Farmington and Gravette are always loaded with talent. They're always going to be in that mix. That whole group right there, those four teams out of the 4A1, just I'm going to be watching them a lot closer as we go down the next 2 or 3 weeks and see who can seem to separate themselves out of the group.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's Emery Bolin and everybody else, and maybe, like you said, even in the state. I mean, it's just she's that good, but definitely in Class 4A. I think probably after that, I'll tell you, Jared, the duo of Kennedy Griggs and Morgan Reeves. I saw Morgan Reeves pitch at the Farmington tournament. I think that was actually, that was her first varsity game, if I'm not mistaken. She did really well this past weekend, and Kennedy Griggs, I believe, also had a really nice outing. So that's going to be a really nice duo right there. I will say Gravette definitely has some things to figure out in the circle. I kind of saw that at the Farmington tournament. We've seen that here. Now they're still pretty good at the plate. I think Gravette is going to be just fine. I think they're certainly still going to be in that mix for another state title. We've had them number one up until this point all year for a reason. But just looking at some of the numbers from this game, Gentry scored 6 runs in the bottom of 7th. I believe that was to Gravette's 4. 23 combined hits in the game, and then 8 combined players from both teams had multiple hits. But also, too, I want to mention from that same conference, Prairie Grove, they're not having a good season record-wise. But, Jared, you talk about – we always like to praise teams that challenge themselves. Prairie Grove, they played in that – I believe it was actually in that River City Rumble tournament. They played in that Farmington tournament. They're doing what they can to get some. I know they've, if I'm not mistaken, they have a pretty young team, so that's probably a big reason why they're doing this. So you definitely got to give credit where it's due. But I think that just looking at this, and also too, in the we'll get into the games here in a bit, but I believe actually we've got a Gravette Farmington matchup this week. If I'm our Gravette P Ridge, maybe one of the two. I can't remember which one it is, but the top matchups don't stop here in the 4A1. But going on here, I was trying to figure out. Did you have anything else to add to that? I didn't want to move on without you.
No, okay, gotcha. I think we got them covered. But yeah, they're definitely, we're in the heart of conference matchups now, so we're going to see a lot of really good matchups across the board, every classification. Now that we've gotten into the heart of the conference schedule, you're going to see a lot of great matchups every week.
And speaking of the heart of conference schedule, so one team I do want to discuss is Baptist Prep. I think that they are going to be a topic of discussion when people look at the rankings, because they're going to see a team with – I always like to address teams with losing records in the rankings. Now, if you look at this team and probably Class 1A through 3A overall, I think that they are up there with the best of the best in terms of the ones that have scheduled. Now, I mean, they're still a really good team despite, and also you got to factor in that some of their losses did not, actually, I don't think a single one of their losses went a full 7 innings in the River City Rumble. Now, the Maumelle game, they lost that one 13-0. That was, you know, against a ranked 5A school after playing 6 games that week. So that probably had something to do with it. But, Jared, Baptist Prep, they've played Bryant, they've played Cabot, they've played Monticello. I know North Little Rock is not that good this year, but they played North Little Rock. It's a 6A school. Valley View, Rogers, number 2 in 6A, plus that Maumelle game. And that's what's crazy. I always mess with Tim Yelvington about this. I'm like, you get enough of a push in your conference, because the 3A5 there with Atkins and Lamar and Mayflower. But I feel like that this is finally, because Atkins and Baptist Prep play on Friday. And I think there's one or two. I think I'm pretty sure Baptist Prep also plays Lake Hamilton this week and maybe one other non-conference game. But I feel like this is probably where we're going to see all that pay off for Baptist Prep. And kind of like in 1A, Midland is a team that has a losing record. I believe they're actually in our outside looking in this week. But that's one that has scheduled extremely tough and just, you know, lost against bigger competition. And I think that's what we've seen with Baptist Prep. But again, that's what Coach Yelvington does. He always tries to schedule the best of the best when, you know, they, again, they're going to play that in the 3A 5. But he always loves to schedule those 5 and 6A schools like we've seen. And I think that that's something to definitely watch. As long as Baptist Prep, I don't think that they have any injuries of note. So as long as they stay healthy, you got to think that this back end of the season is really going to pay off from the teams that they've seen here prior to April.
Yeah, definitely. Looking at the schedule that Baptist Prep has had, they've played some of the best teams in the state out there. Definitely 4 or 5 of the top 10 or so teams in the state they've already played this year. And they have that go anywhere, play anybody attitude. Definitely think that that's going to benefit them too when they come back into a regular conference schedule and it's starting this week. They're going to show that being willing to go out and play that strong competition is going to benefit them. And I think they're going to really push and challenge in their conference. I'm not ready to say that they're going to win their conference. There's a lot of talent there, several really good teams, but Baptist Prep is a very solid, very talented team that I think is going to push maybe for the top 2 to 3 spots in their conference. And they're going to beat a team or two that nobody expects them to beat with the talent they have and the competition they've played already.
Before we get into games to watch this week, I want to talk about – so I had mentioned last week on the show how I was probably going to go to Shirley because Viola was coming into town. I had been planning on going up to see my parents who have a house in that area, and I did. I went up there Thursday, and, man, I'm glad I did. It was not only a beautiful day, I got to take my daughter up there. She loved to run around the lake area and spend time with my parents while I got to go watch a good softball game. But – It was just crazy because a couple of days prior to that, Jared, they had that – Viola had that wild game 17-15 against Calico Rock that had like 31 combined hits, just crazy offensive numbers. Meanwhile, Shirley had a pitcher's duel against Westside Greers Ferry. They won 2-1, great outing from Hunter Hutto. She, I think it was 19 of like 24 batters. I know she had 19 strikeouts, but I think it was 19 of 24 faced or whatever it was. We'll do the math there for me and make sure I have that right. But Hunter had 12 strikeouts against Viola as well. She had another good outing too, but Viola was able to get some good contact on the ball. They had 8 hits, but it was really just 4 errors. I think it was 4 or 5. That doomed Shirley, and Viola was able to escape with the 2-1 victory. So once again, just I say it to the point where people are probably sick of hearing it, but it's just every single week, you just never know what you're going to get in this conference. You have anywhere from pitcher's duels to crazy offensive shootouts. They can happen back to back. I mean, I know that happens in softball, but it just seems like we see that in this conference all the time. But, you know, Hunter Hutto, Haley Krotz, two of the, we say it all the time, two of the better pitchers in Class 1A, another really great pitcher's duel between those two.
Yeah, definitely. You've heard me talk about how good Haley Krotz is probably 6 or 7 different times, you know, on here. And I'll always sing that girl's praises. She's a great pitcher. She's a competitor. She's a great hitter. Hunter Hutto has been extremely strong this year, looking at her ability and the numbers she's put up. And I was going back, I know you got to go watch that game, but I went back and I looked at some of the game changer stuff on it. And it looked like to me, just looking back at the box scores and everything, really the only difference was a few more errors on the Shirley side that was the difference in the ballgame because both pitchers pitched really well. You know, there wasn't a ton of hits. You know, I think there was maybe like 12 hits total between the two teams scattered through the game. Just great pitching. Good hitting where you could find it, but you know, just a couple more errors on the Shirley side was the difference in the ballgame. You know, 2-1 game, it's 1 or 2 errors can sure doom you if you get in that spot. We've seen that before ourselves, and so definitely great ball game what I could see of it. And I hadn't had a chance to talk to Haley about it because she usually sends me some kind of updates. Hey, we did this or we did that. And I hadn't had a chance to talk to her about it, but it looked like it was a lot of fun to watch that one.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, just incredible weather. I was like 65, really sunny. My back was still hurting a little bit, so I was in a bit of pain, but it's definitely gotten a lot much better than it was last week. I'm not going to lie. I gritted through both the softball and baseball podcast trying to sit. It was basically kind of a long story short. It's like when I sat down, it was almost like somebody was tugging on like that nerve in your lower back. It's like it was a mix of pain and extreme uncomfort, but thankfully that's mostly subsided, and at my ripe old age of 34, I can take better care of myself. But going into the games this week, so looking, we'll start with five from Monday to Tuesday that I documented. So I want to point out one from Monday, one from Tuesday, because Shirley has I believe it was actually Viola that had a really big week with multiple ranked games that they had to play this week at Shirley. They've got Calico Rock on Monday and then Concord on Tuesday. So speaking of Hunter Hutto, she might be a little bit sore after both of those, because you expect now Addie Overturf might pitch one of those. I'm not sure. I know that she's thrown some innings as well, but kind of depending on how Calico Rock goes against Shirley on Monday night. But you know, talking about Concord, Jared, I mean, I think they're actually the only undefeated team left in Class 1A. Coach Keith Cornett, we've talked about them, how well they've started off. But, again, some premier matchups. I mean, not just one. We've got multiple premier matchups in the Class 1A.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing how that shakes out. Several of those North Arkansas schools, they tend to beat each other up during the season. And we kind of wait and see – by the second or third week of conference, who's kind of separating themselves, because every year it seems like, you know, you got Concord and Shirley and Viola and, you know, Calico Rock. There's always like four to five teams that are somewhere up there in that same general part of Arkansas that just find a way to just trade wins. Like one will beat one week, then the other one will beat somebody else the next week, and you can never see. Usually it takes until just before district tournaments for somebody to kind of separate themselves. So I'm looking forward to seeing who actually separates themselves. Concord's looking really good right now. I think they're going to see two or three strong matchups this week and next week, and we'll find out a little bit more about what they truly are. But they're looking really strong, of course. And then when we start hitting South Arkansas in 1A, you always hear, you know, Taylor and Bradley, and see what they do down there. So far, Taylor has the edge, and as they usually do, they have the edge overall. But those North Arkansas schools are gonna play each other enough. We're gonna find out who from up there is gonna be able to make a run at Taylor in the South.
Yeah, Taylor, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't want to not mention that. They beat Bradley, their rival, in a 1-2 matchup. That was the other 1-2 matchup that we had, along with Sheridan and Benton. And it was a 4-0 victory for the Lady Tigers. So those two teams that played five times last year, Taylor won that series 3-2. Of course, you had the two regular season, then the three in the postseason. So right now, Taylor has the edge. And then some other ones from early in the week that we've got on Monday night, Springdale Harbor and Bentonville, a top five matchup in Class 6A. And then also Cabot and Bryant. So another top matchup. Of course, anytime these two meet, that's a rematch of last year's state finals, Jared, the 6A state finals. So you've got Cabot Bryant, the top matchup out of the Central. And then Harbor Bentonville, Randy Osnes of Harbor taking on Kent Early, two of the state's – well, I say two of the state's best coaches in that matchup, but you also got to throw Chris Cope at Cabot and, of course, Lisa Dreher in that mix as well. But really what I'm getting at, you've got a premier matchup in each conference from the state's largest classification this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Bryant-Cabot game shakes out. You heard me early in the year – really harping on Bryant, and I felt like Bryant was the best team in the state in 6A and maybe the best team in the state overall. But Cabot has played really good ball. They've only dropped, I think, two games so far this year. They're super talented for sure. I think for me, Bryant has just a little bit of an experience edge with the kids that they have right now. And so I'm gonna say that I give a little bit of an edge to Bryant, but anything can happen in that game. And I feel like Springdale has got a shot. Well, Harbert has got a shot to really make a name for themselves if they can get that win this week in that matchup. So this is their chance to say, we are here. We are going to compete, and we're going to be a team that somebody's got to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like the Bentonville has really rebounded nicely since their tough start. Again, they're starting a lot of youngsters along with, you know, they've got, of course, two Division One players there and Louisville signee Ryan Sanders in the circle, and then Amber Turner behind the plate. And then, of course, she'll also play some outfield as well. She's going to go play at Tulsa, but just a lot of youth Bentonville does. And so does Harvard. But I'll tell you, that pitching duo that they have with Aniston Wright and Sierra Dots, man, I think that's going to be lethal. That's one to really watch that really fared well in the first half of the season and going to be a duo to watch again as we finish it up here. So some of the other ones, I really like this between a non-conference matchup, Concord against Quitman. That's on Wednesday night. Bauxite and Atkins, mentioned that one. It was Baptist Prep and Atkins that I mentioned. So Baptist Prep and Atkins will play Friday night in a conference matchup. Bauxite and Atkins will play in a non-conference matchup Thursday. Also, some non-conference matchups over the weekend. You've got Benton and Bentonville. Benton will also play Gravett. Nashville and Malvern will play in a 4A-7 matchup on Friday night. I'm really interested in that one, Jared, because, look, Nashville, they got pummeled by Malvern, as I said earlier. They've really just ripped through their 4A-7 foes thus far. How will Nashville respond to that? And one to watch in South Arkansas this week. So there's going to be a round-robin event. I can't remember exactly where it is, but I know Taylor, Woodlawn, Junction City, and Parker's Chapel are playing a little round robin tournament. So you get Ayla Buford of Taylor against Arkansas commit Lily Faye McWhorter at Woodlawn. Should be a dandy one there. So between that one and then again, I don't know if this is a round robin that they're doing with Benton, Bentonville, Gravett, and all that, kind of like what they had done with Pottsville and Harbor and all them, Greene County Tech, Gravett last weekend. But nonetheless, we've got some really good ones up in Northwest Arkansas between Benton, Bentonville, Benton, Gravett, and then also what I just mentioned, that round robin in South Arkansas.
Yeah, everywhere you look this week, there's great matchups. Like this is, to me, this week, maybe a little bit last week, and then this week is like some of the most premium matchups you'll see all year. And I mean, I say that, but then there's another week right after that of some more great matchups. When you start hitting the conference schedule, we start seeing a ton of those, but then there's quite a few of really good non-conference matchups that you normally don't see this late in the season. You know, just past the middle part of the season, a lot of those non-conference kind of go away, but this year we've got a lot of really good non-conferences that are staying later in the year. I know we've got a big matchup with Magnet Cove tomorrow night for us personally at Cutter Morning Star. And we're hoping to come out and compete and be able to hold our own with a great team at Magnet Cove. It's going to be a challenge for sure because they're absolutely loaded. So hopefully we can stay on the field with them. Our conference is going to be just a slugfest all year long between, you know, Magnet Cove, us, Poland, Bigelow, CAC. It's going to be an onslaught of teams that want to beat each other up. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out from week to week, who can get the wins there. Just a lot of talent. Everywhere you look around the state, there's at least one to two conferences in every classification that is just three, four, or five teams deep and really fighting it out to see who can do what.
One of the things that I was extremely happy to see, I checked the weather report on Sunday morning, and it's going to be a little cloudy on Monday. I think we've got some rain on Tuesday, but it is gorgeous the rest of the week. So this first week of April, you would think that there's going to be a ton of rain. At least we're going to, the first week, unless something just crazy happens. Of course, I say that, and then we're probably just going to, the forecast is going to shift, and we're going to get just thunderstorms all week. But it's next week that I'm not looking forward to with that eclipse, because we're going to have so many people in Arkansas that don't know how we do things here. But I'm trying to live in the moment right now and not really get to. So hopefully we can keep this up, though. But this week it is going to be, I think, like pretty much sunny and 65, just about like Wednesday on. So, yeah, definitely get out and watch some softball this week.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think overall we have favorable weather, definitely. I'm a little concerned about Tuesday looking at that. I hope we dodge that enough to keep it from, canceling any softball. I'm with you on the eclipse. I wish we could throw that out the window. And there's also, some rough weather right around the eclipse too,
Yes.
showing up right now if it holds true. So, of course, I'm a firefighter and I'm not looking forward to all of the things we're having to do differently to account for an extra, 300,000 or 400,000 people in the city of Hot Springs. But we're gonna find a way to handle all of our business on our end up there, and hopefully we'll be able to still have a lot of softball too.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you'll be in the heat of all this. I'll be probably hiding somewhere in the house. I know you'll be working a shift, man. That's, oh gosh, I'm just, yeah, hopefully we get through that really quickly. But definitely make sure if you are not subscribed to the podcast, if you like the audio version, you can check it out on Spotify. I know, as I always say every week, that that's what most people prefer. If you're on the way to a game or cleaning the house, just doing something where you just want to throw your AirPods or earbuds in and listen to whatever class or whatever topic that we're discussing. But you can also look at it, of course, on the website if you like the video version, though, on scorebooklive.com/Arkansas. And you can check out the weekly rankings, both softball and baseball, that of course Kevin Bohannon does. And then we'll have the podcast for baseball, which will be episode 120 with Kevin out this week as well. But other than that will do it for episode 119 of Arkansas Prep Extra. For Jared Hawthorne and all of us here at SB Live, my name's Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next week.